Today is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. There will be no blessing of articles after Mass today. On Tuesday, July 1st, is the feast of the most precious blood of our Lord and Savior. There will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. on that day. This Thursday, there will be no holy hour. Thursday, no holy hour. First Friday, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m. as usual for First Fridays. And that will be followed by Conference and the Rosary. This will be the first Saturday of the month on Saturday, and the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m. Next Sunday, the Mass will be at the normal time of 8 a.m. And we have some big feast days this week. Tomorrow, of course, is a commemoration of St. Paul. We've already mentioned Precious Blood on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, July 2nd, is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thursday, St. Irenaeus, July 3rd. And on Saturday, July 5th, is the Feast of St. Anthony Mary Zechariah. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Herod the king set hands on certain members of the church to persecute them. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. During the days of the unleavened bread, after arresting him, he cast him into prison, committing the custody of him to four guards of soldiers, four in each guard, intending to bring him forth to the people after the Passover. So Peter was being kept in the prison, but prayer was being made to God for him by the church without ceasing. Now when Herod was about to bring him forth, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And outside the door, sentries guarded the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood beside him, and a light shone in the room, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains dropped from his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak about you and follow me." And he followed him out, without knowing that what was being done by the angel was real, for he thought he was having a vision. They passed through the first and second guard and came to the iron gate that leads into the city. And this opened to him, to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the power of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew. chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. At that time, Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Are those not beautiful words for us here today? "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." As hard as they try, we have God's assurance they will never win. We have mentioned to you in the past that there are four eyewitness accounts, indisputable accounts, of the life of Christ in many, many details. Certainly all of the important details. This is unprecedented in the history of the world. Four eyewitness accounts of anyone's life. Rarely will we find four eyewitness accounts of anything. And this should be to the world a perfect witness to the divinity of Christ. Now we mention this to you today because we have something similar with the feast of these two great pillars of the church whose statues are in our shrine. Because we have eyewitness accounts also of their lives, similar to that of Christ. And they also are indisputable. There are few people in history, if any, that we know so perfectly as these two saints. Not so much in every detail of their lives, but especially, more than anyone else, other than, of course, Christ our Lord, we know their character in every last detail. And this was arranged by God for us because he wanted two perfect models of himself for us to follow. Perfect models of virtue. And he made them mirror images of himself. Especially do we know the characters, all the details of the character, of the personality, everything about St. Peter. And this is the focus of this feast. Our great apostle, representative of Christ, especially St. Peter. Because we see on, practically speaking, every page of the gospel, St. Peter mentioned. Not just mentioned, but many times in detail. And it is almost always an interchange between our God and the apostle. Nothing else like it in the world. And so we see that this is one of the greatest saints ever made by God. Because in all of Christ's public life and forever, there is no one that he trained like he trained this man, this saint. In many cases, he singles him out above the other apostles. We see him teaching him, training him, correcting him, answering his questions, rebuking him, making him just like himself. And even though St. Peter was not the favorite of our Savior, he was nevertheless the one who loved Christ more than anyone. And this, of course, was one of the things that won our Savior over, and the reason that he chose this very unique saint in the history of the church, not only because of his love of him, but for another reason, and this is one of the reasons that he is one of the greatest saints ever, not only because of the great training from our Savior and our King, but because of his humility. This is one of the, we can say, the quality about the Son of God that enamors us above all the others. And it is meant to do exactly that, and that is his humility. A Son of God was the most humble man ever. He was just like the dust, and he was God. And here we have the Son of God molding this apostle to be just as humble as he was. But this is what drew him to St. Peter to begin with, was St. Peter's humility. And one other quality about St. Peter that drew Christ to him, and that was his sincerity. You won't find anyone that you'd ever have the pleasure of meeting that was more sincere, forthright and honest than this man. Everything about him is completely out in the open. There are no airs. He puts on no airs. He was just what you see. That was St. Peter. No fraud like we see today. Fraudulent humility. That was not St. Peter. He was, after all, just a fisherman. And a fisherman in those days was no greater than a fisherman is today. He was just a working man. We see here the infinite wisdom of the Blessed Trinity in choosing a man to be his representative on earth, the highest position ever in this world, and even he put St. Peter in charge of heaven so that no one goes to heaven except that St. Peter gives the go-ahead. St. Peter was like you and me, just a common, ordinary man. He made him like this, not only because of his humility and his honesty, sincerity, but he made him to be his representative for all time, for all men, because he is between us and God. He's the go-to person. If we want anything, similar to our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, if we need anything, our Lord and Savior wants us to go to Saint Peter. And we pray to Saint Peter and Saint Paul every day. We hope you do. He is our Pope. He is our Vicar, our Saint, our representative. If we need anything, God has given us someone that we can go to and feel at ease with, because he's like us. Not only because he was a working man, but he was a great sinner. We love sinners. All sinners. But especially we love saints who were sinners. St. Mary Magdalene, our list of saints that were sinners are a mile long that we love, and we pray to them every day because we identify with them, if not in their sanctity, which we want to have, at least in their sins. And so St. Peter was our sinner in heaven. Brethren, we have to tell you that it was very difficult to choose what to speak to you about regarding these pillars of the church, Saints Peter and Paul, because there is so much information about them. We could speak to you if we had the ability, because there is so much about them that is available to anybody that wants to know it, that we could speak to you for days about St. Peter and St. Paul, about their character, their lives, in so many details, about the effect that they have had on the world, why God made them. It's difficult to choose what to say, so we're going to talk to you about why God made these two men, why he created them, and why he sanctified them. Similar reason to why he created you and me and sanctified us. Because this is what it's all about, salvation, the salvation of all men. All of the world, very soon, all of the world and its pleasures is just going to disappear into dust, very soon. And there will be nothing left but heaven and hell. And so God made everything for the salvation of mankind. He came on earth, became a man, died on the cross for our salvation. But first, he came for a specific group of people. He came for priests and religious. And we talk to you about it today because of St. Peter, who was the first priest, after Christ, of course, first priest. And he's the model, after our Lord and Savior, the model not only for all people, but he's the model especially for priests. If you notice, when our Savior and our King was here on earth, during his public life at least, he didn't spend most of his time with lay people. He spent almost all of his time with his priests, his religious. This is why he came first. And here's the story that we want you to hear about from the gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, with difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. And further, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Be afraid of riches. The disciples, hearing this, were exceedingly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter addressed him, saying, "Behold, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall possess life everlasting." So you see, brethren, that he promises to his priests and religious 100-fold of everything that we have left, and life everlasting. He promises it to everyone, but who leaves these things except us? Now we know that we have heard that for young people today, their math skills are not too great. So we were going to tell you, just in case you haven't learned it, that 100 times as much is a lot. And in addition to that, Christ did not even mean 100 times as much. He meant without end. That's what he meant. There is no end to the reward that we will receive in this life. He's talking about here on earth. And then he promises us life everlasting. And the reason for this, of course, especially for priests, and we say this to you young men, especially, speak to you especially, because we know that many young men avoid completely the idea of the priesthood because they have to give up the pleasures of the world. And oh, are you mistaken? This is the biggest, most colossal error you will make in your whole life. To go for the world instead of the priesthood. The pleasures of the priesthood are infinitely greater than those of the world. We promise you. Christ came on earth first for his priests. And one of the reasons is because the salvation of the world depends on priests. Everyone's salvation depends on the priest. Secondarily, on the prayers of religious. But what does everything come down to? The Mass. Because no one is saved without the Mass and the sacraments. This is infinitely greater than our prayers. This is, in a way, the only prayer, the prayer of Christ. This is why he spent all of his time here on earth with his priests, because we all depend on them. There is nothing greater in heaven or on earth, we're excluding Blessed Mother, there is nothing greater than a priest. Priests are higher than the angels. Our Lord and Savior says to his priests, "He who receives you receives me." Because the priest is Christ. He's another Christ. Who can forgive your sins but the priest? Just for that alone. Greatest thing ever. Priesthood. The saints tell us that God could make many things, just about everything, more perfect than he did. But his priesthood, he could not make any more perfect than he did. If you are called to be a priest and you do not follow your vocation, you probably will lose your soul. Now, here's the problem. Everybody, all people are called to be priests and religious. Everybody. We didn't make this up. The saints tell us this. So much so that St. Thomas Aquinas says that if Satan tells you to be a religious, follow what he says. Now, how is it that all people are called to be religious? Everybody. See the problem? And if you don't follow your vocation, you lose your soul. What we are saying to you is the exact opposite of what everybody else in the whole world will tell you, including maybe your parents, your teachers, your friends, everything you hear on the news, everything you read. What do they say? Only if you hear the voice of God, basically, if you receive a sign from heaven, then you could be a priest or religious. Otherwise, stay away from that. And so what's the resolution to the problem? St. Ignatius gives it to us. Here he is. He says, rather, because of the words of Christ, you should presume that you're going to be religious unless you hear otherwise. So, if, for instance, you know that you are sick and you cannot function as a priest or religious, then you know God is speaking to you. That's not for you. If the priest tells you, no, you don't belong in the convent or in the priesthood, that's it. Then you don't have a vocation. Otherwise, you can presume that you do. Everybody's called. And we say this to you today on the feast of our pillars of the church because we follow them. What did St. Peter and St. Paul do the instant they were called? They followed. And we say to you this today also because of St. Peter being our first priest and because we can pray to them. Because the saints tell us that anybody who prays for a vocation will receive it. So pray to our saints today and they will give you everything that you need, they will obtain it for you. May God bless you.